Hi, I'm Tom.
And I'm Alex. This week on Flash in the Pan is going to be my birthday, so we are returning to the Mushroom Kingdom.
We grew up in a world of online animation. Our
And welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This time, Alex has a very special extravaganza of delights and pleasantries.
You could call it that.
It's her birthday.
It is my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 29.
You're going to be 29 years old.
And I don't like that.
29 whole years old.
I don't like that. That's scary. That's
Why?
1 year away from 30, and I don't like that.
And as everyone knows, when you turn 30, you are legally dead.
You are legally dead.
Legally dead.
They come to your house with a stamp, and they just stamp your forehead. You are dead.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice cheerful way to to introduce your birthday.
Well, what
episode.
I'm saying is, my life is over once I hit 30, so it's been a good run.
You've still got another 365 days to become a 30 under 30 Forbes magazine luminary.
Well, not too much fucking pressure, eh?
Yeah.
Not too much pressure.
Hey, it could happen.
It could. Yeah. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, exactly. You could meet a CEO and get Pretty Woman into... There are implications.
Yeah.
You could meet actually Richard Gere.
Ooh.
That could be neat.
No, I think he's already involved, probably.
Probably. Richard Gere, if you're listening, please write in. Write in and wish Alex a happy birthday.
Thank you, Richard Gere, for listening to our podcast. That's very flattering.
So, at the top of the show, we should mention that we talk about Flash animations.
We do, sometimes.
Yeah,
usually.
And they're fun.
They are.
If you want to listen to our older episodes, obviously you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and so on, where you should give us a 5-star review. But also, you can go to our website, flashinthepancast.com, where we have links to all the stuff we talk about. Well, at least links to all the cartoons.
At least the cartoons, yeah.
Yeah.
In order to know what we talk about, you actually have to listen, which is, you know, I understand it's a downside for some people.
What, a downside?
You can't just pretend that you're listening. Like, if I quiz you about the show and you're just like, I know you're fake. I know you're a fake.
Now I want to prepare a special... when we hit our anniversary next year,
yeah.
You're making me want to prepare a special quiz of the show.
Go for it. I love quizzes. I love sudden impromptu quizzes. As we know.
I haven't prepared one today, but
that's a shame.
I believe that you have prepared at least one.
Semi recently, I went back to my parents' place to try and like clear it of some of the like just garbage that
yes.
I've accumulated over my years and years of. My parents having to put up with me.
Yeah.
And I found a bunch of blank, what I thought were blank CDs. And I was checking through them. I was like, some of them had like, I found a CD that I believe my friend's dad burned, which was the entirety of Nickelback's Silver Side Up.
Oh.
That went straight in the bin. It wasn't even, I like that, like, it wasn't even like an actual copy. It was burned.
It was a bootleg
of Nickelback's Silver Side Up. He never made it as a wise man, and he couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. So one of the things I found was something that ignited a memory that had been buried deep, deep in the recesses of my brain.
Which is what this podcast is all about.
Yes, it was for some reason, at some point, I'd somehow, I don't know how, I'd gotten an MP3 of this cartoon, the audio of this cartoon, and burned it onto a CD for some reason.
Just the audio.
I don't know why I did that. But the cartoon is called Mario Twins.
Mario Twins.
Yes.
I'm so happy to hear you say those words.
Yes.
Here we fucking go.
Shut up. God damn.
Hey, guess what?
What?
It has new games.
What game?
I want to play it. It is called Mario Twins. They look the same.
Wow.
And we're back.
We're back.
And goodness me. I watched that so much when I was small.
Yeah.
And clearly it meant a lot to you.
I don't like the implication that I was just listening to the audio of this.
I mean, it slaps.
The drums are good.
Yeah.
Everything else is kind of... Obviously, back when I was first infatuated with this, that didn't bother me.
But now you think it's a bit much?
Now I'm like, okay, come on. Like, not even in...
Come on, chaps, let's be reasonable about this.
Not even in key, I mean. No, but like... I think I do remember the one thing that always used to annoy me about this was that the bass part for Bowser's Castle is all wrong.
Completely wrong.
Completely and utterly wrong. Yeah. But I used to listen to it on a CD anyway.
Just on its
despite that.
Okay, so for the younger listeners out there, a CD is a...
a CD is, come on.
You don't necessarily know that.
CD still exists.
I saw a tweet... Two days ago.
Okay.
I saw a tweet 2 days ago in which a 17-year-old said, when people talk about burning CDs, what does that even mean? Did you just get the songs and put it onto a CD?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And the replies to that tweet were people having to explain the concept of music files.
Oh no.
Because
everything's streaming now.
Because everything is streams nowadays and you don't own anything.
Apple Music, Spotify. I've actually got Apple Music, it's alright.
You're part of the problem, Alex.
I only use it for stuff where I'm like, I like this, I'm probably going to buy it in the future.
I'm just teasing, it's fine.
I know.
Also, it's your birthday and so you can legally... not be criticised for anything.
That's right.
So remember that before you send in any angry emails, right?
The other implication is that I was walking around and listening to this because...
With a Walkman.
I had a CD Walkman.
Yeah.
Because this would have been in the time when MP3 players were a thing, but they weren't...
A thing.
They weren't popular.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember, I have a memory of somebody I knew in school who had an MP3 player and everyone made fun of him for it. He was like, wow, what's that? What is that? There's no way that's not going to catch on. How wrong they all were.
I mean, I felt that way about the couple of people I knew in my class who had mini clips.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Turns out you're right about mini clips.
I'm really enjoying... Okay, I want to paint you a picture, right? Yeah. So close your eyes, okay? Yeah. You,
uh-huh.
Aged, let's say, 14, 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You're in the car with your family. and I'm guessing your car had, like, a CD changer in it?
My mum had this really old Volvo for years.
So no CDs?
That only had a tape player.
Okay, fine. Well, imagine then...
Right.
It wasn't an old Volvo. It was like, I don't know, like a mid-range more... Audi with like a CD changer, right?
Yeah.
Where you could put in, let's say, you know, 6 CDs and then you could switch them out so you had lots of different stuff to listen to.
CD changer.
One of those CDs is just Mario Twins by Group X.
Thankfully, I'm pretty sure that didn't happen.
Okay. So I was like, Mum, please. Okay, after the next Van Morrison song, can we switch to my CD, please? Oh, yeah, which track do you want to listen to? Oh, there's only one.
Just one. It's 4 minutes long. Oh, God.
And the first time you put it on in the car, like maybe like your mum's humouring you for like the first 30, 40 seconds. And then slowly, like, her driving gets more erratic.
I'm really glad that never actually happened.
Okay.
I mean, like, my music library back then wasn't expansive. I had Green Day's American Idiot.
Mm-hmm.
This.
This is your second choice.
Signed up by Nickelback.
No.
Random other MP3 files I probably pulled off of the internet.
LimeWire and so on.
LimeWire and that. I was recounting my LimeWire memories to my girlfriend the other day. One of them was trying to download, I think, a Linkin Park song.
Oh yeah.
And getting an audio file of someone screeching at the top of their lungs. Everything's like, LimeWire was like a real, like, if it's not like a song with .exe on the end, which fools everyone, you know, which fools someone's grandma, but doesn't fool, you know, most people who are tech savvy. It was someone uploading, some 41's Fat Lip, except it's actually like the Nutcracker Suite or something.
Oh, put those hands together.
And you get like string quartet that covered like a bunch of mid-2000s. That exists. This is a string quartet that's covered a bunch of like really popular like early to mid-2000s songs.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't remember
what they're called, but
I actually have on my iTunes. I actually have It's a String Quartet Suite.
Yeah,
which is just a medley of Skrillex tracks.
That might be them. That might be the same.
It might be.
Anyway, let's talk about
the
Mario animation. Twins, yeah. Animation.
The animation is deliberately sloppy.
Yes.
And very silly. Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's perfectly in keeping with the tone.
Yeah.
Like, the audio track is, and I mean this with the greatest respect to Group X, two guys fucking around.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's that one song that, like, was on the end of, like, a lot of different albums in this kind of era. The perfect example I can think of, going back to Green Day, is the hidden track on Dookie.
Oh.
You remember that? Like, that's what this brings to mind for me.
But yeah, so, so I really like how, like, the really basic brush tools in Flash.
Yeah.
Are used to mimic like the really basic fat sprites, and I think it works.
It does work, yeah.
And I think what animation there is pretty minimal, but I think it's fun.
It is very fun. It is very, like, the whole thing is, it's just fun to watch.
It
and
is.
It's fun to listen to. You can tell they're having a good time performing, and the animator obviously had the time of their life making animation for this. Because this is like, that's like perfect to animate to.
Yes, I agree. I also, one thing that I remember watching this when I was small.
Yeah.
I did not remember the extended poo sequence.
Yeah, me either. As soon as it started, I was like, oh yeah, this did happen, didn't it?
Yeah.
There's a cat noise for some reason, and then obviously, at some point, they start making fart sounds, and then the animator's like, ho, ho, ho.
Rubbing his hands
it's
with
the early 2000s, I'm on new grounds, I know what I have to do.
Yeah. And, it's... But, like, it's so childish that it's not unpleasant. It's just like, oh, God, look at that. Oh. It's like when a 10-year-old learns his first cuss. Yeah. Or, like, tries to make up a new swear word.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's endearing.
It's very silly, but it's fun.
Yeah. So did you do any research?
I did a lot of research.
You did a lot of research.
A lot of research.
So does that mean it's time for some Flash?
Yes. It's time for the part where I read some stuff that I read off the internet about the people who are involved with this. So
kick ass.
Mario Twins. It was uploaded to Newgrounds by someone calling themselves Luigi Plays Bass.
Yeah, and also to Albino Black Sheep.
And it's the only cartoon that the profile ever uploaded.
Ah.
But if you watch the cartoon on Albino Black Sheep, it says that it was made by Keith McKnight and Group X. So searching for Keith McKnight doesn't turn up a lot of results that look like they're relevant. I've literally written Keith McKnight. Who is Keith McKnight? Is he a boxer from Laverne, Tennessee? Is he a musician that's been working since at least 1994? Is he dead? There have been two Keith McKnights that passed away this year.
Oh no.
One of them was 72 and the other one was 90 years old. Although if it was the 90-year-old, He would have to have been about 73 when he made this.
I do like the idea of a 73-year-old meticulously animating poo.
Or is it more likely that he's a senior software engineer at Tinder working out of Los Angeles? Probably because his LinkedIn profile, I logged into my fucking LinkedIn account to read this.
Wow.
Reads, JavaScript person loving the front-end web tech, I build products that are nice and do the thing. It's probably him, because you need JavaScript to run Flash. And also, his Newgrounds profile for Luigi Plays Bass says that he is a student in fellow Philadelphia, and his LinkedIn profile lists him as having studied at the University of Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
So
That's some crack internet detectiving.
Yeah, so it's probably this guy who is senior software engineer at Tinder.
He's done Tinder.
A bunch of other stuff. It looks like he worked at Tumblr at one point for about 3 years.
I think half of the people in Silicon Valley worked at Tumblr for maybe 3 months at a time.
Yeah, but couldn't find much else in terms of animation that he's done.
Okay.
It looks like just this. There are a bunch of other GroupX related
flashes,
but I think only this one says it's Keith McKnight and GroupX.
Yeah, we actually have at least a couple more GroupX things on our grand list of suggestions from people.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
So now, of course, we have to talk about GroupX.
Of course.
GroupX, they've been around for a while. They formed in 1997.
Uh-huh. So at the time this was made, they'd only been around for about 4 years.
Yeah. So GroupX is a faux Arabian rock band claiming to be from the fictional village of Kramshanantin, Saudi Arabia. However, they actually originate from Georgia, United States of America. They play a mix of rap and rock. They use a comically accented and mangled English.
Yes, they do.
So the members from Wikipedia are as follows. Hashmir Shashmir.
Yep.
White Chocolate.
Okay.
Blade Razor. Rowby the Sheath. Rex Whiff the Machine. And Flat-Eyed Tony.
Flat-Eyed Tony.
Flat-Eyed Tony.
I think that's my favourite.
That's a good one. They've had three albums. So the first album is called 40 Ounce Slushy.
Oh, that sounds really good right now.
Yeah. The second album is Stepping on the Crouch Alf Your American President. I am reading this how it's spelled, by the way.
Yeah.
And the third album is The Return of Peppermint Joe. The song from the Mario Twins animation is from the band's 1999 debut album, 40 Ounce Slushy. They were reviewed in the Western Herald's Noteworthy Nobodies column and were also reviewed by CBC Radio.
Okay.
So, remember when I said the band has three albums?
Yes.
The third album, The Return of Peppermint Joe, came out this year.
You're fucking joking.
No. No, I'm not.
Oh, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and that's amazing.
So, if you want to utterly and completely ruin your Spotify history, they are on Spotify, and you can listen to all three albums in full.
And I already got you a birthday present.
Well, it is
Christmas,
what it is.
Though.
Christmas is coming. Christmas isn't far off. That's everything I could find about GroupX.
You took us on a journey, though.
And Keith McKnight.
Wow. Keith McKnight, if you're listening somehow, please write in, because you made something that clearly meant a lot to both of us.
Yes.
So I believe it's time to get into the comments.
It's time to get into the comments.
Can I take the first one?
Take the first
one. Okay. So the first comment on this, these are comments taken from Newgrounds?
These are from Newgrounds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first comment is by Minecraft Gamer PC 64, and who said this in November of 2016, who simply said, N64.
He's saying the thing that's on all of our minds. Nintendo 64.
N64.
Yeah. Despite the fact that this is clearly an homage to Super Mario Bros. 1, fake Nintendo fan.
Well,
banned.
Okay, fine. Minecraft Gamer PC 64, apparently, like, you're not allowed to listen to us anymore?
No.
Okay.
That's it.
She has decreed it.
Okay, so Caca Volante in June 2001 says, how you doing? Great movie. NES, all the way. Smiley face. I still have mobs of peeps coming over to play my NES because their PSX, PS2, N64, or Dreamcast just can't hack the Intenstein log anymore. Get my drift? Not really, to be honest.
I'm gonna try and decipher this.
Okay.
This zodiac threat. How you doing means hello.
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. So, just can't hack the Intenstein log. So I think it might be can't hack the intestine log, which means just can't hack the shit anymore.
Right.
You know, an intestinal log, obviously. I mean, that's I don't know.
That doesn't make sense even in 2001 because, like, my Nintendo 64 still works.
Yes.
And I you know, we also have a PlayStation 2 and a Dreamcast in this house that still work. So...
Maybe people just got bored of their PlayStation or their fancy Nintendo 64.
Maybe.
Or their Dreamcast.
That doesn't make any sense because Nintendo 64 is, like, perfect. It's not. It really isn't. There are so many bad games and many games that are good which haven't aged particularly well.
Yeah. So when you get bored of Space Station Silicon Valley, then you can go right back to the...
To Glover.
Ouch. So there's one more you've picked.
Yes.
Would you like to take this?
Oh, sure.
Because it's...
Yes. Jimmy Cracked Corn, January 2nd, 2003, he said, I believe this is supposed to be like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it looks like he laughed for about half an hour.
Okay.
There are a lot of ha-ha-ha. There's a lot of ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. It goes on for a while, and then he goes, very funny indeed. That cartoon alone is good enough to rival Bebo. Yay. Shitty Eskimo Bob Wick so many of you seem to like for some reason. Boo. And everything else, yay. And then there are 43 exclamation points.
it's just a stream of consciousness.
What the fuck is Eskimo Bob? Do you know what Eskimo Bob is?
Eskimo Bob is something that we'll get to in future,
okay.
I'm sure.
Okay.
In the meantime, just looking at this, especially written out all the separate ha 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 ha's, this feels, okay, so like imagine, if you will, say a turn of the millennium science fiction story about like a rogue AI.
Right?
Okay.
I think I see where this is going, but go on.
And you know, it turns against humanity, all that kind of stuff. You know, Hell 9000 style. As it's being deactivated, its last output on like a dot matrix printer is ha 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 shitty Eskimo Bob Wick so many of you seem to like. Yay! But like the computer voice goes, yay!
Yay!
And then it just stops. And
then it kills everyone.
So that's what I think happened here.
Yes.
I think Jimmy Cracked Corn was an experimental government-funded supercomputer artificial intelligence who got lost somewhere on Newgrounds and succumbed.
And if you don't hear from us again, it is because we uncovered a secret CIA plot.
Yes. And I'm very proud of... Oh, not that proud.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
It's been real. The next cartoon we have is one... Alex asked me to surprise her, because why not?
Yeah.
And one of the main loves in your life is music, would you
That's
say
That's right,
so?
Yes.
Well, I found... what I did was I searched Newgrounds for the phrase dance party.
Ooh.
And so I found this one. It's called O-N-E. And it's very popular.
Okay.
And it's quite old.
Okay.
And you haven't seen this before.
I haven't. I don't think I have.
Well then, let's dive in. And we're back.
When you said dance party...
Look, I searched dance party, and this was one of the most popular things that came up. There wasn't Naruto.
Really?
Yeah.
Naruto.
Yeah. That's gonna be a different episode.
Oh boy, I can't wait for that.
But no, this was more of a dance off.
Yeah. Yeah, at first I thought it was just, like, the one mannequin, like, dancing on its own.
Yeah. And then it turned out that there was an anime dancing.
There's an anime as well.
Specifically, like, a Jet Set Radio character.
Yeah.
She had that look about
her. Yeah, very, very Jet Set Radio kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You want to go over the plot?
It takes place in, like, someone's room, I think. It's like a... I don't know what they're called. It's like a really small mannequin. Like you often get, like, animators use them to get, like...
It's like one of those wooden art, things. Yeah,
animators, like, pose them, or artists pose them so they can, like, use it as reference. But it, like, it picks something up and throws it at, like, a different toy, which doesn't get involved with the dance party.
Because it's dead.
A means to an end. And then that turns on the what is it, like, it's like a boombox kind of thing, and like the dance off starts.
Yes, and the way your eyes lit up when the first song came on,
I was like, well, part of it was like, oh, this song, and then part of me remembered one of the previous episodes and was like, oh no.
This is not Oops, I Farted Again. This is the original, unblemished Britney Spears classic.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. And then they go from song to song.
Yeah.
After, like, a really extended chunk of Oops, I Did It Again, they sort of trade off doing different songs at each other.
Mm.
You Got Served style.
Yeah.
Remember when You Got Served was a thing?
I do remember that. I don't know why, but yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, and then we realized toward the end, okay, so the mannequin is doing American songs.
And the anime is doing Korean songs.
And this is a while before K-pop properly broke in the West, I think. So it's kind of neat to see, because the animator is Korean.
And
so it's kind of neat to see that, you know, that being represented. And then right at the end, they both come together to dance to the last song.
Yeah, and then it becomes a dance party.
Yeah, and then it becomes a very small dance
very
party.
Very small dance party.
And the final thing we see is music is the universal language.
It's true.
Which is just a nice sentiment.
That's a nice sentiment, and it is 100% true.
Yeah. We are united in our love of K-pop. Yeah. Did you know, fun fact, right? The Korean government directly funds the K-pop industry.
I didn't
because
know that.
It is considered to be one of their major exports.
I was about to say, is it one of their major exports?
Yeah.
But, like, as a joke, wow.
Yeah. What, do you remember when BTS were on Graham Norton?
Oh,
like a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, God, yeah, that did
and
happen, didn't it?
People went bananas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
It's good, though.
Yeah. So, did you enjoy the actual cartoon?
I did, yeah. It was kind of... It was full of, like, those, like, really loud transitions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every time the camera changed angle, it was like, whoosh, whoosh.
It just reminded me of the clips I've seen of, like, the Indian soap operas.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Which are always, like, really badly over-edited, and it's the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, Bollywood editing is amazing. Yeah, so the one elephant in the room is that this isn't entirely Flash. All the 3D stuff was most likely done with Swift 3D.
Ah, okay.
Which was very popular at the time as a tool for animators in wanting to incorporate 3D stuff into Flash.
I think people still use it, don't they?
Probably, yeah. There's so little information given by the creator. Half of the comments are like, wait, was this in Flash? Did you do this with Flash? Did you do this with Swift 3D? What did you do? And they all sound like that. But no, the creator has been... Yeah. Which brings us to a very short Flash. I don't fucking know anything about this guy. Or even if it's a guy. Like, they're... It was made by N201, who is Korean, and according to their Newgrounds profile, is now 43.
Okay.
And they made a few cartoons in the mid to late 2000s, but their website's down. They listed their job as animator back in 2005.
Okay.
That's all I can glean.
They've done a bunch of animations on Newgrounds.
Yep. Yeah, so it's... I don't know. It's hard to find stuff about this person. I tried waybacking the website. The website's not live. Hasn't been live for ages. This is just a mystery to me. And so, it's a shame, because it would be cool to see what... Like, their last upload was 7 years ago, in 2011.
God, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, it's strange. About that. I tried... But we can work out that there's definitely a theme in some of their submissions. Like, their first upload was called No Music, No Life. They have stuff called We Are the One. Language is different, but love is one. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this is a recurring theme in their work. But yeah, that's all I can tell you, I'm afraid.
Well, it's nice to know that the robot from Sonic Adventure had a hobby.
Okay. Anyway, goodness sake. We have some comments.
Okay.
Okay, so I thought I'd pick... We're going to start high, then go low, then come back up again.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to start with... This was a comment from the day it came out. Scion of the Storms.
Ooh, nice.
Gave it 4.5 stars and said, it was good. The Britney Spears song scared me, but it was a great animation.
I have an inherent fear of Britney. Oh no!
when I lay down in bed at night and supposed to switch off the light, I can hear her faintly in the distance. Yeah.
Trying to be in public in the mid-2000s was a nightmare.
Oh.
Okay.
Next comment by Zenkigen.
Zenkigen. Oh, only 1.5 out of 5 in 2005 said, beautiful graphics, but this all in all was boring. Maybe it would be attractive to 13-year-old girls and boys who listen to hot FM pop radio. was that even a thing? Probably. With your 3D ability, I would definitely channel your time into something with a plot, make a script, and push a story. It will go a lot further, in my opinion, even if dancing was part of the storyline. This seemed, if anything, just a show-off of Swift 3D's talent, and not really showing your true artistic heart. Nonetheless, well done. Did they like it or not? Like, you made it in Swift 3D, not Flash, but good job, 1.5 out of 5. What? I don't get it. They seem confused.
Well, the next comment might shed a bit of light. Okay. This is by Lunatic, with two O's. You know, like the lunatics.
Yeah, yeah.
1 star, sad face. And this is all caps. I'm not going to shout it.
No.
But this is all caps.
Thank you.
Sorry, I rate a 2. But I can't deny your skill. But the thing that frustrates me, and believe me when I say this, because I'm speaking on behalf of all the normal people out there, they just come here for the entertainment. Like the Flash, but the concept kinda gay. And the song's no offense, just a comment, and everyone is entitled to one.
What? What? What?
Listeners, Alex's face is going through some changes right now.
I don't... How is what we just watched gay?
Britney Spears?
Britney Spears, okay.
Janet Jackson.
Alright, but the other 4 songs?
The thing is, that this came out in 2005.
Okay, yeah, good point.
In 2005, Britney Spears was still... an immensely popular punching bag for very lazy jokes. And also, pop music as a thing...
I remember.
...was still, like, the evil. Mm. You know, especially...
kind of still is.
Especially if you're an edgy teen on a site like Newgrounds.com.
Only has good opinions and good taste in music.
Okay, but
definitely.
Like, fully half of the bad reviews I could find were complaining about Britney Spears. Most of the rest were complaining about the Eminem song. I'm not even joking.
My hot take is that Dido is better than Eminem.
That's 100% true.
I'm sorry, man. That song that you had at the end of Venom, that was like the worst part of the movie.
Okay. For anyone else who's seen who's seen Venom, which you should, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
What the fuck was Eminem doing at the end with the song?
I don't.
The Eminem Venom song is one of the worst things I've ever heard him do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's arguably his worst song.
It's up there.
It's up there.
It's really up there. Goodness me.
He just gave him money and he was like, okay. And, like, I think he fell asleep or got high for, like, I don't know, near towards the end of the contract, and then woke up and went, oh shit, I've got a song to make. Maybe. That's my theory.
Yeah, that's a tangent. But yeah. Like Eminem hasn't been consistently good in a very long time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Anyway, there's one more comment, which is a lot nicer, and I wanted you to take this one because it's delightful.
Okay. Hyperpot001 in 2011, December 2011, gave a 5 out of 5. These old days, I remember myself when I saw this on first time. I cried so bad because such beauty. And here it is. 6 years has passed, and the tear is still there. It makes us think how we could communicate each other in the past. It wasn't with strange words or weird grammar. It was by emotion and gesture. Maybe we are separated because of our language, but we know that we can still understand each other. Thank you so much for making this. This was my first favorite Flash animation, and after these years, it didn't change. Congratulations. Oh,
that's so nice.
That's really nice. Like, you know, like language and a bunch of different stuff may separate us, but we can all appreciate music in the same way.
Yeah.
It's
so charming.
It's so good.
And yeah. I like. When, and it doesn't happen often, but when you stumble across, like, these really earnest...
Oh, it's so good.
Like, you know, this is almost a message of love.
Yeah.
To the creator. You know, thank you for making this thing which has been part of my life. Yeah. I love that shit.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's the best.
I hope that Hyperpot 001, sorry, I hope that they are still out there, still kicking it.
Well, I mean, they obviously have the best intentions when writing this comment, so...
Yeah.
My bet is on yes.
That's cool. So, what's our last feature?
So, the last thing that we're going to watch after 15 episodes...
Whoa.
We're going back to the end, one last time, of Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom Part 3 and 4.
So, previously we watched Disc 1,
Disc
quote
1,
unquote,
which was Part 1 and 2.
And now we're watching...
Disc 2, which is Part 3 and 4.
Part 3 and 4 of Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
I'm hype.
I'm so ready for this.
I wonder how many necks are going to get snapped in this one.
Hopefully at least one.
Here we go.
And we are back.
We are definitely back from the Mushroom Kingdom and its inexorable, violent rise.
Yep, it's still as good as I remember it.
it felt different from the first half. Tonally, I mean.
Yeah.
So, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
At the end of the first half of this...
Mm-hmm.
Mario was still dead, right?
Yes.
So why is Mario alive at the start of this half?
Because it's kind of implied that it was a dream, a premonition that Luigi had.
So the first half was just a premonition.
So, yeah, parts one and two were a premonition that Luigi's having in his sleep.
Right.
And then he wakes up, sees the bullet bills go past... realizes that the stuff that he'd been dreaming about is about to all become reality.
Yeah.
Grabs the clock.
Okay.
Sacrifices himself for Mario, and then Mario obviously goes and seeks revenge.
Seeks revenge on Wart, specifically.
On Wart, because it was Wart what did it.
Yes.
Which was revealed at the end of part two.
Yes, I remember that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, I say tonally different, because in the first half of Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom...
Yeah.
It's a small army,
yeah,
of Toads and Yoshis, and Luigi's like their captain or their crack troop or whatever.
Yeah,
but In this one, it's much more of a Mario solo effort.
Yeah.
And personally, it was still great fun.
Yeah.
Like, I think we both really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, for me, it was less satisfying with it just being Mario doing all that stuff on his own.
No, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from. I kind of understand why he would have done that, though, because with the first two parts being so heavily focused on Luigi and, like, the army of Toads and Yoshis for two parts, and you have to remember they were spread quite far apart.
Yes.
Part one and two, and then part three, which came out much later. I think a lot of people enjoyed part one and two, but I think a lot of people's complaint with it was, it's all about, like, Luigi. It's called, like, Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Okay.
Mushroom Kingdom is, you know, it's about Mario. Where's Mario? Why is Mario dead? I can't believe Mario's dead. You know, he probably got so many comments being like, oh, I can't believe you killed off Mario. Like, and it's all about Luigi. Like, who cares about Luigi? You know, it's still a thing that people still say, like, who cares about Luigi?
Those people
are incorrect.
Those people.
Luigi is an incredibly brave soul.
He really is.
His having his only job ever be like ghost hunting and capture.
Yeah.
And of course the inevitable rescue of his brother in the first game.
Yes, and this does have Luigi have a triumphant return.
Yes, because
and then the Mario twins, Shiggity Shiggity Schwa.
They look the same.
They look the same. they get to double team attack Wart at the end. So I wrote a few things down.
Okay.
Not as much as I was expecting, because a lot of it was pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I did like that both Luigi and Mario had, like, premonition / flashback things that, like, just stopped them in their tracks.
Yeah.
I thought that in terms of the way that was put together, I thought each of those little scenes was like, okay, I'm actually feeling the impact of this.
Yeah.
You know, this works.
Yeah.
I like how when Luigi is cut in half, and a Toad arrives, astride a Yoshi, the Yoshi's face is like, oh shit.
Yeah, accurately conveys that exact emotion of, oh my god.
Yeah. I really like some of, again, like the landscapes that he's put together are really nice. He's got some really lovely parallax effects going on.
Yeah.
And like, he manages to imbue a sense of scale, which is really difficult. As we said before, it's really difficult to do with sprite animations.
But he chews it.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah. And, yeah. There are little things I just liked. Like, I really liked when Peach is flying to get the one-up mushroom to resurrect Luigi.
Yeah.
I mean, one wonders why they wouldn't have done that with Mario in the first half and save all that bloodshed.
Yes.
I mean, I have a theory about that,
okay,
but we'll come
right.
on to
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
Okay. But I like how in the montage of her traveling, like her astride the Yoshi, the winged Yoshi, sorry, they're silhouetted by the moon. Like, that's a nice little shot.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
that's really
that. Cool. I also like the music in this continues to be great. We got a bit of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When we arrive at Mouser's castle.
At Wart's castle.
Wart's castle guarded by Mouser. Uh-huh. I apologize. And then Mario's way of defeating Mouser, which I think we all thought was going to be like a martial arts spectacular. Instead. So Mouser, for those of you who don't know, is a Mario 2 enemy, occasional boss who throws bombs at you. And of course, bombs, like grenades, you can cook a grenade before you throw it, by which, you know, you hold it for a little bit longer so that you have a good idea it's going to go off sooner.
Yeah.
So what Mario does is he waits till Mouser pulls out a bomb, and while the fuse is still burning, Mario executes a truly intense series of dance maneuvers. Shake it like a salt shaker playing in the background.
It's amazing.
I wasn't expecting some, like, I was not expecting Crunk Mario. But that's what we got.
The idea of Mario being like, I'm going to distract him so that he, like, the bomb just explodes.
I mean, that was fun. I enjoyed that. And then he just...
He just kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, and drops him in a jar full of Fantos who rip him to shreds.
Rip him to shreds because he touched the key.
Yeah.
Fantos don't like it when you touch the key.
No, they really don't. And then after slaughtering the mouse, Mario, I've written here... moonwalk air humps his way into the castle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a truly next level maneuver.
Like, he sees Mauser get, like, torn to bits in the pipe with the Fantos. He goes, whoa. And then just slowly back into the entrance of the castle.
While air humping.
Whilst thrusting.
Thrusting. Pelvic thrust.
Goes backwards into the front door.
Yeah, that is amazing. The most intense way to flex on someone. Yeah. Is you murder them horribly, and then and then you just teabag the air. Oh, dear. Yeah. I also... See, only a couple more things. Or another music thing is... during the final battle with Wart, Club to Death plays, which is just perfect.
Yes.
And of course, the Wart's only character trait in this is farting. Because he ate vegetables and the vegetables made him fart.
I'm saying, I am the Great Wart.
Oh, he does say I'm the Great Wart, and then he's fed a vegetable and he starts farting uncontrollably. And the final battle is against Wart with just this big green ass show.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to say is that, like, Randy really wanted us to show Wart's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we see it four times as he flies up the tower. It's just this extended shot of Wart flying around the tower as he flies up, and you see his ass, like, four times.
Yeah.
And then you see it over and over again in the final fight.
Well, the joke is that he's a big farty frog.
He really wanted to know that he spent time, like, making and animating Wart's green butt.
There's a lot of custom sprite work in this series.
Yes.
And if you can't appreciate a good sprited bum...
The horrible green hairy bum.
We don't know if it was hairy. Frogs don't have hair.
Maybe I added that detail in my mind.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting.
It's okay. Yeah, but no, like, it was really fun.
It's really great.
And, like, finally the saga is complete.
Yeah. I think the thing that I still like about Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom the most is that it continues to use the logic of the Mario series as a way to, like, propel the story forwards. Like, you have him, like, doing stuff that he wasn't able to do in Super Mario World, but he was able to in Mario 64. He rides on the shell.
Yeah.
And he, like, does a bunch of wall jumps and, like, a few, like, triple jumps here and there. It's just really cool to see someone, like, be obviously so familiar with the character, they just want to incorporate, like, as many aspects of, like, that character as possible.
Yeah, there's even a cap throw.
There's even a cap throw. And, like, you have to appreciate, this came out years and years and years before Nintendo ever went, what if Mario threw his hat as an attack? Not only did he use stuff from other Mario games that had been released that weren't Mario World, but he also managed to throw a move in there that no one would see.
14 years in the future.
No one would see for years to come.
That's pretty amazing. Also, I did like the Donkey Kong sequence. That
the Donkey
cute.
Kong
with
sequence
the giant,
was great.
With the giant enemy crab.
Which falls into a bit of boiling water.
Yes. I was honestly surprised that Mario did not then pull him out and eat the crab.
So the one thing I think you might have been disappointed by, there wasn't any further neck snaps.
There was no neck snapping. I think, I got really psyched.
You're really psyched for another neck snap.
Okay, like, for those of you who haven't, like, please go back and watch the first two parts, specifically the second part, in which Luigi, while infiltrating a Koopa nightclub, just, like, executes a beautiful leap, lands upside down on the bouncer's head,
and twists his body around.
Twists his body around to snap his neck.
Yeah.
Like breaking, like a breadstick.
It is absolutely incredible.
It's one of the best things.
Maybe that's the reason why he didn't put another one in. He just knew.
He couldn't top
he
it.
Couldn't, you can't top that.
I mean, yeah,
you can't
that's fair.
Top that.
That's fair. It is, it's truly wonderful.
Yeah. but yeah, that's all of Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, and so overall, it's just a really fun time.
Overall, it's fantastic. It still holds up. It's obviously got a lot of the hallmarks for flash animation of the time period it was made in, like all the fart jokes and the violence.
Yes,
but it is incredibly well made.
I think so, yeah.
Incredible attention to detail with regards to, like I said, the characters and the animation is just, you know, it's fantastic.
I think so, yeah. I didn't mention why, if this resurrection thing existed in the first place.
Right, okay.
Why they didn't revive Mario.
Right.
It's because the princess knew that she needed a martyr.
Okay.
She needed a martyr, right, to stir up the bloodthirst in the troops and lay waste to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Okay.
Right. And Luigi isn't important enough to be that martyr.
But Mario
was, you know, as the princess's enforcer, you know, he was strong enough on his own without the need of an army.
Yeah.
I think I've got to the bottom of it.
Or...
Yes.
It was a dream that Luigi had, and dreams don't always make sense. In fact, they rarely ever
do. Everything in that dream made internal... You know, it was internally consistent.
Or maybe Luigi didn't know about the one-up.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Maybe Luigi didn't know.
It only seemed because you'd think that if Mario knew about the one-up, he would have gone straight for it.
You'd think.
But he didn't. And upon learning of Luigi's death, the princess goes for the one-up.
Yeah, and Mario is surprised when Luigi saves him.
So?
Yeah. You know what?
Nobody except Princess Peach knew about the one-up.
Typical.
Which is why it wouldn't have happened in Luigi's dream, because he didn't know.
And this is why governmental transparency is so important.
Yes, truly, Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom is about anything. It's that the government withholds information from us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Happy birthday to me. Why don't we read the comments? Oh, wait, hang on. First, before that, very, very, very brief flash. Yes, we've covered... This is now the third time that we've covered Randy Solomon. So, Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom Part 4... which is the final part of Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom, was viewed 1,341,219 times, which is astronomical.
It's very big.
That is a massive number for Newgrounds.
Yeah.
It was put out in 2005. It was front paged. It had daily feature and weekly second place.
Fair enough.
Which... isn't really surprising.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a thrilling and poignant conclusion to a good series.
It was. And that, as I said, this is now the third time that we have covered Randy Solomon. So there's not really much else to say.
That's fair.
About Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom, apart from the fact that, like, it's amazing and it had a profound effect on me and a lot of other people.
Yes, definitely.
With that in mind, why don't we go to comments?
Okay, then. Yeah, so we're going to finish with some comments taken from across the series.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Eric Cho, I believe this is from the second part, said, in 2015, said, "It looks like most people regard this as Randy's magnum opus. This was certainly fantastic. The funniest part was when he hit the screen. The transition effects are amazing. I remember looking at this trivia article he wrote, talking more about it. I certainly wasn't expecting the ending. Well, it'll make more sense later. You really get to see the Mario series depicted as something epic. It really is like a great fanfic. It's great to see all the characters contributing to the battle. There's just so much going on and such fine detail in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
That's accurate.
Accurate. Eriko again. Like, he pops up everywhere. Pimpin' Don.
Pimpin' Don.
In 2003 said, "Keep him coming. You have an excellent talent. Try me keying a movie with dinosaurs in Mario World. Lololololol. T-Rex versus Mario."
T-Rex versus Mario?
Wow.
That's
yet another, like...
Yeah.
Yet another soothsayer has seen into the future of the Mario series.
Teach us your ways, Pimpin' Don.
How did you do it?
This is also another one of those comments that you see occasionally where he is capitalized every word.
Yes.
As if it's in title case.
Yes.
Which is... You don't need to do that.
You don't need to do that.
No, another word...
Just it does improve the quality.
Pimpin' Don talks like Kanaya from Homestuck.
Would you like to tell me about Homestuck?
Maybe on my birthday.
It's my birthday, don't hurt me.
Okay. Finally, Hell's Gatekeeper, which is just that's rad name.
That's an excellent
name.
Oh,
yeah. Randy, I've been pulling for this shit to get on top of the all-time list. I've been voting low on everything above it. This I've been giving a 5 on every day. I urge all Mushroom Kingdom lovers to vote 5 on this every day and vote 0 on Madness, Return of Ganondorf, and especially Genryu. It's not good. The Gatekeeper. Rating, there aren't enough stars in the sky.
Aww.
That's sweet, but
you shouldn't have done that.
don't sabotage other people
just because you like a thing.
This is Newgrounds of 2003. It's an untamed Wild West.
But Zero or Madness, why would you do that?
Madness
is good. But I liked this and Madness. It's possible to like two things.
I think you'll find that in 2003 on the internet, it was not possible to like two things.
You are correct.
You had to like one thing.
That's why the console war existed. Return of Ganondorf, I might have seen, but what's Genryu?
They're both on the list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll find out.
So, I think we're running way over what we anticipated.
Yeah.
So we'll have to leave the reading of birthday messages for the next episode.
Oh, all right. Then.
But you all, right, you, if you can hear this, right, you, if you're listening to this and you feel like, you know, like brightening someone's day, which you should, you can send birthday messages, birthday wishes, photos of, I don't know, cute animal of your choice, let's say, otters and ducklings. Yeah, otters and ducklings, like, hanging out.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and anything birthday-themed to flashinthepancast@gmail.com, because, as we've mentioned once or twice in the episode, it is Alex's birthday, and she deserves all of your love.
Aww.
And speaking of you deserving all of our love, where can we find things that you've done?
You find a lot of things I've done on the internet, funnily enough. One of the comments I read about Mario Twins was someone writing, "predates the internet," and I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. This was uploaded to the internet. It cannot predate it anyway. You can find the things that I've made online at twitter.com/dex01 for tweets that I make.
How do you spell dex01?
D-E-X-01.
D-E-X-01.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have many and varied Let's Play videos over at youtube.com/VNDLP. And you can find a bunch of music that I wrote and recorded myself at alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I have my first paid live show coming up in a couple weeks.
Oh, do you want to plug that? Do you want to say where it's
going
to be?
It's going to be here in Manchester at Thoughtworks and I'll be on from 7:30 until 7:30 to 7:45.
So it's a short set.
It's 15-minute set, but I'm really gonna go for it.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm getting paid.
You're getting paid to do music.
Unbelievable.
And speaking of getting paid, you can find my first paid article Yeah, so I got paid to write the thing. I wrote a review of the excellent Sophie album, Oil of Every Pearls and Insides, and I wrote that for Gender Terror. And you can find that on Gender Terror, the website, and you should read it, and you should listen to that album, because they're both really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find the rest of my stuff on my Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude Perkns. I blog at Media Gluttony, where you can also find a short story I wrote about Shaquille O'Neal eating helicopters. And you can find the show's Twitter at FlashITPancast. That's FlashItPancast. As we said at the top of the show, you can find all of our stuff online at flashinthepancast.com. Please give us good 5-star reviews and ratings on iTunes and Stitcher and all that garbage, because it really does help us out.
It does, yeah.
We need those analytics, folks.
Please. I'm dying.
My children need clicks. So that was your birthday episode.
That was my birthday episode.
How do you think it went?
I think it went pretty well.
That's really cool. Would you like to sign us out?
I'll go on then.
Okay, so until next time, I'm Tom.
And I'm Alex. And remember that I've got the new Nintendo 88 system.
The new Nintendo 88 system?
There's a new game on it I want to play. It's called Mario Twins. They look the same.
Glamorous piece of crap.